Broadcasting live from Wilmington, North Carolina, it's time for Senior Synergies.
Welcome to Senior Synergies on Business Radio X, where we bring together the needs and the opportunities of seniors with the people, the places, the agencies, and the events that provide those opportunities and serve those needs. I'm Tom Petcher, your host. Today, we're delighted to welcome two individuals who have dedicated their professional lives to serving the senior community in two different, but in some ways, complementary fashions. Joan Keston is an elder law attorney here in Wilmington, and Susan Silver is executive director of a relatively new nonprofit agency, actually a pending nonprofit agency, as I just learned, called Aging in Place Downtown. Susan, let's begin with you. Aging in Place Downtown, can our listeners assume that's downtown Wilmington?
It's downtown Wilmington, and we define that as zip code 28401 plus Carolina Heights and Carolina Place.
So going up to about 17th or so?
It goes a little farther.
Further.
It goes up to
right.
about 22nd.
Gotcha. Right.
And as far east, south as the Shipyard and Sunset Heights area, and all the way north as far as you can go in the city.
Yeah, downtown is not really just what borders Front Street.
People think of the historic district.
Exactly.
As downtown, but this expands that area to the whole zip code and beyond.
Which I think is a good thing because there's a lot going on just outside of what we consider the sort of marginal downtown.
It's the most diverse part of Wilmington
exactly.
in terms of race and income and all sorts of things. And that's the idea. We're using it as a model for the whole city.
Aging in place is a concept that's getting a lot more attention these days than it has in the past. What exactly does aging in place entail, and why, from your perspective, is that important?
Well, what we know is that about 50% of people in their lifetime will spend time in a nursing home. And we also know that about 2% would prefer to spend time in a nursing home. So in spite of people's preferences and desires, people are winding up moving out of their homes into a facility. And aging in place, which we define simply as enabling seniors to remain in their homes regardless of health, wealth, or age, may make the difference between being able to stay at home and having to move to a facility based on bringing to the individual senior the kinds of services and resources they need to make them safe and successful in their own homes.
It's about independence, yes?
It's about independence. It also says a lot for a city that concentrates on aging in place. This is a destination for retirees
right.
and semi-retirees, and making this aging and aging in place friendly only strengthens and enhances the image of the city.
How did the concept of aging in place downtown come about in the first place? And how did you discover the need for helping people age in place? Because you're a relative newcomer to Wilmington.
I've been here about 4 years.
4 years.
I knew about aging in place and the movement called aging in place all around the country. And when I came here, I discovered there wasn't much happening along those lines, with the exception of the PACE program run
right.
by Elder House. And I began to look at the demographics of Wilmington and found that Wilmington's downtown was, again, the most diverse. And I began to reach out to all sorts of people and agencies and found that there was a lot of enthusiasm for the idea, but nobody was making it happen. So I went about trying to make it happen and have been doing that ever since over these past nearly 4 years.
How long, then, has the organization been in existence? Has it been 4 years? Did you start
right
away?
It's been 4 years since I began
gotcha.
Doing the basic research, but it's been gaining momentum over time.
And good for you. Joan, as an attorney specializing in elder law, Susan's efforts to pave a smoother runway for seniors in Wilmington has to resonate with you in a lot of ways.
It certainly does. We've worked together on some projects.
Can you talk a little bit about how you came to choose your current practice and exactly what elder law is?
Sure. I graduated, I guess, from law school over 30 years ago and have spent most of my career in more of a business type law and international, and really wanted to change that and help people. I've experienced a lot of elder law issues and health issues with my family and late husband. So I retooled a little bit and switched to elder law estate planning. Estate planning handles issues that we all face post life. It handles dealing with your assets after you pass away. Elder law is really things that happen during your life that you need to prepare for, including long-term care. And as the tax laws have changed and medical advancements keep us alive longer, the focus really has come to the needs that you face in the second half of your life. So a better really phrase for all of this is, I call life care planning, because you're not necessarily older. It's more like the second half of your life that you need to focus on your needs and what you face when your children are more independent and you look at that part of your life.
Is elder law as a fairly recent kind of development in the legal arena?
Pretty much so. I'd say it's gained momentum again over the past 10 to 20 years.
Mm-hmm. And I think
that's, yeah, I think that's along the lines also of medical technology keeping people alive and not necessarily with a great quality of life. So there's a focus on long-term care costs. Mm-hmm. And then protecting your assets and handling your situation so you can afford that and garnering your assets and using them to the most efficient way possible.
What's the best time for someone to start considering this latter part of what
I'd say early 50s, early even 50s. Late 40s, right, to right. start looking and thinking and focusing.
Is it ever too late?
No, there's always...
Prior to decease.
Passing away, yeah. It's never too late. There's always some kind of planning that you can do. You might not be as optimal if you do something ahead of time. If you're in crisis mode, meaning you're facing a nursing home stay, there's fewer things you can do, fewer strategies you can take advantage of, but there's always something you can do.
What specific legal issues do seniors face really specifically, and how do you help them deal with those issues in the whole arena of elder law?
I think one thing in particular is having different agents, whether it's a healthcare power of attorney or a general financial power of attorney, mm-hmm. To help you deal with things in the event you're incapacitated, either physically or mentally. Those things have to be signed and executed while you still have mental capacity. If you do not have those kinds of documents, you might face a guardianship issue, mm-hmm. which is not a pleasant place to be. That's one big issue. And I think the other issue is really a cost-related issue, whether you can afford nursing home stay. And I think people are not aware that there are several middle class benefits, particularly Medicaid, adult Medicaid in North Carolina, and VA pension. Those are benefits that are available to the middle class and structured for that purpose.
I'm going to jump a little bit later on into the whole VA issue, but what middle class opportunities are there in Medicaid?
Medicaid, called adult Medicaid.
Medicaid being for less well off people, Medicare being something you're eligible for.
Medicare is completely different from Medicaid.
Right.
There is Medicaid for what we call categorically needy folks, and that is a low-income, poverty-level benefit. Adult Medicaid is not that kind of Medicaid. It is Medicaid for folks who are 65 years or disabled or blind, and they can have substantial assets and income and still qualify for that Medicaid.
Really? This is news to me.
Yeah.
So 65 is a cutoff. Point.
65, no matter what condition you are, or disabled or blind.
But it can be only one of those three in order to help you qualify.
Exactly.
Wow. More to learn about that. I'll be on a later show to talk more about that in more detail. You referenced life care planning, and you talked about how that's so terribly important. How do you go about convincing people of the need to take that into account?
Well, life care planning is an integration, really, of elder law, estate planning, and asset protection. And that's really critical that you focus on or have a team, including attorneys, CPA, financial advisors, medical people who can help you integrate.
Got it.
They're not really that separate anymore. So you need to understand the documents you need and then navigate whether or not you can take advantage of the government benefits. Convincing people is just really reaching out and speaking to people and trying to get them to plan before they reach crisis point.
And
being as informative as you can is my approach.
And being on the occasional radio show as well.
Thanks for that.
Susan, life care planning is something that we should all know more about, as Susan mentioned. Is Aging in Place Downtown focusing on that concept as well as one of its kind of focuses and approaches?
Yes. What Joan says just emphasizes what we try to promote, which is beginning the process early of planning to stay in your own home as you age. Our core service is an assessment of individual seniors across many dimensions of everyday life. So whether it's their transportation needs or their medical needs or their financial planning and their legal needs as they grow older, these things really are done best early. Because if you wait until there's a crisis, you've waited too long.
Mm-hmm.
We're so serious about starting early that we've actually created a kind of subgroup within Aging in Place called Engaging in Place, which is really aimed at the late 40s, early 50s, or more specifically at the more active individuals, regardless of their age, people who don't see themselves as needing the actual aging in place services per se, but can benefit from having the tools and the resources that they need to begin planning for their aging in place years. So things like what Joan offers are exactly what we would promote along mm-hmm. with other kinds of resources.
It's sounding as if you both are in the business of trying to re-educate people to kind of take things into account earlier rather than later about your future and about your later years. We're all of an age where we're beyond, way beyond that point where we're invincible, where we think we're invincible. But how do you jump that hurdle to kind of like really, or are you finding it a struggle to jump that hurdle to convince people of a certain age in their 20s and 30s that they really are not invincible, that there's going to come a time when they're going to need a lot more help than they really believe they have now? And how do you kind of fight that battle? I'll take an answer from both of you or either one of you at any point.
Well, people in their 20s and 30s are a tough challenge.
Even 40s, though. 40s, if you remember going back 40, we've both been there. We've all been there. We're not there now. We're all
right
beyond that point. You just didn't think about it. You were busy raising a family. You know, you were busy developing a career. How do we begin to get people to just switch a little bit over and focus more on what might be looking like, what they might be looking like, and what they'll be facing in their 60s and 70s?
For that middle group, 40s, 50s, those people are often what we call the sandwich generation.
Yeah, exactly.
So they're busy raising their kids, right, but they're also, in many cases, taking care of their parents. And that's often an entry point for them because it makes them aware of the issues that are coming up for themselves
right
along the way. And so, again, as Joan said, it's a matter of talking to people, reaching out, educating people that these are issues that are real
right
and they need attention.
Joan, your thoughts?
I was going to say the same thing. I think people come to it naturally when they have their own parents or grandparents and they see what's happening. I think when people have children and realize the needs their children might have, and the first step is to have a will with a guardian when you have children, and that's really critical. And you start feeling the need of people and the help that if your child is left without anyone, I think the opposite is a parent or an elder person who has no children around or anybody around who can be their advocate. I think when those concepts start happening, in addition to the information or education, I think that's really the way you have to go.
I'm kind of amazed in my line of work as to how many people don't have advance directives written down. Can you talk a little bit about that whole term? What do advance directives mean?
Advance directive for natural death is the name in North Carolina of what people generically call a living will. It's not a necessary document. It's a document that you need if you want to direct or authorize your physician, your healthcare agent, to withhold artificial support. This is only a document that kicks in when you are not able to make the decision or not able to say or voice your wishes, whether physically incapacitated or mentally incapacitated. So it really is an authorization. Pull a plug is what people call it,
right,
but it's really withholding any kind of artificial support.
And it puts a determination you make while you're still a
sound mind.
Right, exactly right. And a smart one to do as well. Susan, as I remember, you... at least from my perspective, you kind of kicked off your Aging in Place Downtown initiative with a gathering a number of months ago of people who had a vested interest in helping seniors live a better life and facilitated an open discussion of senior needs. That was at the church over there on 16th and
St. Paul's,
yes.
That's where Susan and I met.
Aha. Well, that's where Susan and I met too. What findings came out of that gathering and how are they now informing your efforts?
Well, it was a terrific gathering of about 80 people who were representing city agencies and churches and businesses and consumers and so on. And it was a very interactive process.
Facilitated, if I remember correctly.
Very well facilitated, right, not by me.
Right.
And we encouraged people to state their priorities in terms of what it would take in downtown Wilmington to age in place. And far and away, the highest priority is for better transportation options, because everybody knows if you quit driving, especially mm-hmm. if you're downtown, it's very hard to just live your daily life.
Yeah, those wave buses are very infrequent.
Very infrequent and getting more infrequent. And so that being the highest priority, we immediately put together a working group on transportation, and some terrific, hardworking people are on it, including representatives from WAVE and the Senior Center and the Metropolitan Planning Organization and the Department of Transportation and some consumers. And we've developed a model for supplemental transportation that we hope to roll out in the next month or two, which will be based partly on volunteer effort, partly on a combination of other things, but it will help people who are in the downtown core get to those destinations that they might otherwise not be able to reach. So that was one clear outcome of that summit in April. Others are other working groups that we've established, and we've begun a series of talks we call Tuesday Talks that occur the third Tuesday of each month. Joan was a speaker at one of those, and each month we try to hit a topic that is of interest to people who are aging and interested in staying in their homes, staying healthy, and so on. So while we're not yet delivering our core service, because that takes a certain amount of funding that we're still trying to accumulate, we are delivering these sort of peripheral services that we hope will begin to make a difference, and then over time move into the core services of assessing individuals and preparing comprehensive aging-in-place plans for them.
I was at your last Tuesday talk earlier this week, and it was a really robust audience. I mean, are you finding people are finding your services and getting there?
Yeah, I've been very pleased. We've had good turnouts. The last one, as you know, was on the aging brain and memory and dementia and so on, and I don't know anybody who's not concerned about that, so it attracted a good crowd. The one that Joan did along with a financial planner,
Megan
Kopka, was also very popular with a lot of questions and people wanting to pursue the opportunities with Joan or Megan or whomever.
Right.
We didn't promote any particular providers of those services. But yeah, we get good audiences with good questions and hopefully begin the thinking process.
Joan, as we all know, the Cape Fear region is a real magnet for retirees, and that includes retirees from out of state. Do new arrivals to North Carolina need to be aware of how our state operates that may be different from what they're used to and changes they may have to adapt to?
Yes, they do, and this is a question that comes up frequently. They often hear you need to get North Carolina documents in terms of wills and powers of attorney, and that's very critical. It doesn't necessarily mean that their documents are not valid or would not be honored in North Carolina. It could, but it doesn't necessarily mean that. There are reasons. One example, I won't go into all of them, but one, for example, is a delay that could happen if someone comes in with a power of attorney or healthcare directive, advanced directive, living will that references a different statute from a different state. There could be differences in differences in interpretation. There could be conflicts, and there could be a delay because the facility may send that document for a legal review to determine whether or not they can honor it. That's not a critical time that you want to delay in to see how long it takes to get a document reviewed. So that's really just one aspect of how critical it is that you do have North Carolina documents that are not only North Carolinian, but are up to date. Most people think if they do these documents one time, they stick them in a drawer, and 10 years later, they're still valid.
That's great. My wife and I drew up our will when we lived in Baltimore, and that was two cities ago. And so what you're saying is get
your stuff together.
Bad. Okay. We'll be talking. Joan's office is right down the hall from mine, so I'll be kind of knocking on her door, I think, going forward. Last year, a brand new Veterans Administration Center opened in Wilmington out of the airport. It's an impressive facility, but what's more important than the bricks and the mortar is what the VA has to offer seniors with a military background. Can you share a little bit of what you know about VA benefits and,
sure.
and what people should be aware of?
There are several VA benefits, and where I focus is on what's called improved pension. And a lot of people, again, I had a veteran who was 94 in my office last month, and he said, am I stupid? I've never heard of this. I said, no, sir, you're not. Improved pension is not really quite a pension, but it is a benefit that you can receive if you were a wartime veteran. It's an allowance, a monthly allowance. You would have had to have served 90 days, one day at least in a wartime period. And the wartime periods are defined on the VA website, and they're much more inclusive in terms of time than an actual battle time. You have to be discharged as anything but dishonorably. If you are a survivor or a spouse of a deceased veteran, you would have had to have been married to that veteran on his death and not remarried. So you have your basic improved pension, and then there are added allowances that are paid monthly for a housebound condition or aid in attendance. Housebound means that you are not able to leave your house at the intensity to go to work every day. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean you can never leave your house. And aid in attendance means you need help with activities of daily living,
right,
which are toileting, mm-hmm, bathing, etc.
Or even meal preparation. And
not meal prep.
No.
Actual eating.
Okay.
Meal prep is a contentious point, but that's not exactly considered an activity of daily living.
Right, right. What I've noticed about now that the VA center is here, and it really is an impressive facility, but the VA seems to be split between the benefit side,
yes,
and the medical side.
Yeah, very much so.
Just could you speak to that a little bit? And what people who are veterans or loved ones of veterans, what they're going to face when they sort of first kind of confront the VA?
It's a little bit challenging. The new facility is medical at this point,
right,
and I think it's being transferred from Fayetteville over to, mm-hmm, here, but it's not completely fully transferred yet. One thing we do say for both VA and Medicaid is that try to qualify for those benefits before we even go to those offices and talk to those folks. What we try to do is convert and plan and convert your assets to what's non-condable assets. It's all very complicated, but we try to do planning that will make you qualify. Veterans benefits do not have a look back period, but if you were to go and inquire and have even an informal application begun, you can no longer plan. Your assets are frozen as in terms of for eligibility requirements as of that day.
Are trusts a way of getting around
One method is a trust. There's a series of ways of doing things. Medicaid has a look back period of 60 months. So you still could do planning, but you may be penalized to the extent that your benefits would be postponed. Navigating both of those benefits is a challenge because they're a little bit different, but they, Medicaid pays only for nursing home, VA benefits, pension benefits pay for assisted living, home care, and nursing homes. They're a little bit different. But an analysis would help choose which one you want to really dedicate yourself to qualify.
So the long and the short of it is that you don't have to be wealthy in order to kind of use a trust.
No, you don't. And you shouldn't. Trust is no longer just for wealthy people.
Exactly.
There's all sorts of reasons why people need trusts.
Everyday folks.
Yes.
Susan, your organization is in a real growth phase right now, startup and then growth. How can our listeners get more involved in helping to grow Aging in Place Downtown?
Well, we always want to attract volunteers who are interested in any aspect of what we're doing. So we can be contacted by phone. Our phone number is 910-805-4663. We have a website, which is aginginplacedowntown.weebly.com.
Dot.
Weebly, W-E-E-B-L-Y,
gotcha,
dot com. And anybody who, or you can email me at aginginplace@hotmail.com. Anybody who's interested in transportation specifically, or joining one of the other working groups we have dedicated to some of the other phases of aging in place. Anybody who might be interested in being what we would call a zone captain, which is somebody located in a neighborhood who can be the, eyes and ears on behalf of the seniors in the neighborhood. We have so many roles for volunteers, mm-hmm, right now. We also need donations. So if anybody's moved to support us financially, we're always pleased for that. And just good support of our activities as well, turning out for our talks and so on. Those are all good ways to support us.
Super. The transportation initiative you said you're going to be rolling out next few months. What else is on the agenda for Aging in Place Downtown in terms of resources for seniors downtown?
Well, we've spent a lot of time developing a tool to assess individual seniors because that's the starting point of our core service.
Uh-huh.
Each senior would be assessed across all of these dimensions of daily life. And you don't want to gather information needlessly, and you don't want to fail to gather information that you might need. So we've spent a good deal of time developing a survey instrument, as it were, to assess the needs of individual seniors so that as soon as we can have the professional staff to begin delivering those assessments, we're able to use a really good and concrete tool to gather the information that we need that's been an activity that's been ongoing, is developing that. We also hope to do research, and there's a group of faculty at UNCW who've become very interested, and we hope to be able to collaborate on research on aging in place so that we can both document and duplicate what we're doing, and show that what we've envisioned as a model really will work.
Your organization is a really welcome addition to Wilmington's, and we're grateful for that.
Thank you.
Joan, you are developing a series of seminars, is that correct?
Yes, I'm doing free seminars.
For the public.
For the public on a monthly basis, one in Wilmington, one in Southport. And this month, or February 25th, at the New Hanover County Business Executive Center over on Military Cutoff in front of the library. Mm-hmm. And then February 27th in Southport at St. James Community Center, actually St. James, not Southport. And then monthly thereafter. Attendance at that, we request an RSVP so it can be a intimate group and I can answer questions. And then if you do come, I will give those attendees a free hour consultation.
That's great. Joan Kestens, Susan Silver, really, really appreciate you coming on board today. We had a great conversation. You're both really welcome additions to Wilmington, as I mentioned earlier. I think we're all appreciative of what you do. Living downtown, as I think we all do, or about to be, what's available for seniors, a growing demographic, obviously, is incredibly, incredibly important. So I'm grateful to have you both on board. And Joan is signaling me about something.
My contact information.
Your contact information. Yeah, absolutely. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
My website is kestonlaw.com. That's kestonlaw.com. And the phone number is 509-7121. Or you can reach me by email, jkeston@kestonlaw.com.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it very much. Thank you both for being aboard today. And we'll have you back for sure going forward.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks to all of our listeners. This has been Senior Synergies on Business Radio X.